Our reading this evening is taken from Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 8 to verse 20. This is what God says. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen. And we know God will add his blessing to this reading. We're looking again at Luke chapter 2, verse 18 to 20. And this week we go from the simple to the sublime. So let's start with the simple. Last week, we spoke about the angel's visit to Mary when she came to the realization that she would be the mother of God's Son, Jesus. Not only was it God's Son, he was also the promised one. The Messiah the nation had been looking forward to and waiting for centuries. The child was the promise made in the Garden of Eden. It was the promise made to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. It was a promise made to David. It was a promise made to Isaiah. And it was a promise made to Malachi 400 years before the child was born. But God hadn't spoken to the nation in those 400 years. Not since the last utterance in Malachi chapter 4 verse 5. "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes." Now he had spoken. He spoke to Zechariah, who would be the father of that prophet Elijah, but who would be called John the Baptist. He had spoken to Mary, who would be the mother of the Messiah, who would be called Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He spoke to Joseph, still those guys at the back, spoke to Joseph, who would be the guardian of God's Son. So when this baby was born in fulfillment of the message angel brought to Mary, imagine Mary's heart. Imagine her head. She pondered all these things in her heart. Imagine her heart when the shepherds came and silently and humbly walked into that little manger. Was it for fear of waking the baby? Or were they in awe because they knew who this baby was? Imagine her wonder when they told of the scenes they had witnessed a little earlier. She must have been astonished when those ragtag shepherds bowed themselves before the baby in the manger. During and after the birth, I don't imagine Mary was thinking about who this baby was. Her mind would have been centered on other things, like the pain. There were no epidurals in those days. And then there's the miserable surroundings. Who wants to give birth in a stable? But then, when those shepherds came and told her what they saw, and they confirmed what she had been told 9 months before, she would have been amazed. The shepherds were the first to kneel in the manger. But given who and what they were, Mary and Joseph would have been astonished. Yet, there they were,
worshipping the newborn Savior. These shepherds were simple men with simple lives. They certainly were not the learned priests and the lawyers of Jerusalem. Look where they were living. Verse 8 says they were out in the fields nearby. Out in the same fields that were used by shepherds for centuries. That's where David was tending his sheep. If you remember, that was 1,000 years before Christ was born. 1,000 years and more of shepherding in the same region. Micah was a prophet between 750 and 710 BC. And in chapter 4, verse 8, he said, there's a reference to the watched flock, the watchtower of the flock. Some scholars suggest this is Jerusalem, the city and the strong tower of Israel. And the sheep gate in the walls was where the sheep traveled from the fields to the temple to be slaughtered. Other scholars simply see the watchtower as the hillsides around Bethlehem, where the shepherds sat as they watched their flock in pastoral grassland, which is what they were doing on that wonderful night when the Savior was born. Whatever the scholars find to talk about, the fact is, these shepherds were tending sheep that were special. The sheep were special because they were temple sheep. They were born and raised in the fields around Jerusalem. Then they were driven up to Jerusalem through the sheep gate and into the temple to be slaughtered as sacrifices. Remember, when God laid down the law for the Passover, the sheep had to be without defect, which meant that these sheep had to be absolutely perfect, which in turn means the shepherds were constantly on guard. The sheep not only had to be raised without defect, they had to be protected from predators, from sickness, from mishap, and that was a full-time job. Consider the Passover. Just think about the Passover. Every Jewish male from miles around had to attend Passover at Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 tells us that there were Jews from 13 other countries at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And the Passover is even more important than that. If we take a conservative figure, and I mean a really pathetic conservative figure, if we say there were 20,000 men in Jerusalem at Passover, which is around about the time they were guarding their flocks, if we suggest one sheep would be slaughtered for every 10 men, that would mean 2,000 sheep out on the hills waiting to be brought to Jerusalem for Passover alone. And these shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks. Because they were responsible for delivering healthy, unblemished sheep to be offered to God. Notice too that they were watching the flocks by night. Obviously they couldn't watch all day and all night. They had to work in shifts, one shift every 6 hours. Protecting the sheep from wolves and lions, and also from sheep stealers. That meant the shepherd's life was dangerous. It was a life of loneliness, danger, hard work and poverty. When we see pictures of shepherds in Jesus' day, we see them as tender, loving shepherds. And not what we normally see, tender, loving shepherds, carrying the sheep on their shoulders. Now that's what artistic license leads us to believe. Here in the West, even the sheep are Western. Now, even if you think a shepherd's life was a hard life, it's even worse. They were outcasts. Today we would call them the great unwashed. The reason for that was, when it came to lambing time, they had to birth the lambs. Now, normally and naturally, sheep deliver the lambs themselves. But sometimes the shepherd has to step in and help the delivery. That meant getting blood on their hands, which meant that they were ceremonially unclean. Then there were the stillborn lambs, the lambs too weak to survive, or even dead sheep. They had to dispose of the bodies, which meant coming into contact with dead bodies. That meant they were spiritually unclean. Sorry about this, folks. I don't know what's going on. They were spiritually unclean, and that made them outcasts, the great unwashed. But added to that, the very men and the boys who were responsible for providing the perfect sheep and lambs for the sacrifice were themselves excluded from entering the temple Because they were unclean, they were looking after the sheep that was going to take away their sin, and they couldn't even go into the temple to make a sacrifice because they were unclean themselves. Added to that, the very nature of the job was to stay with the sheep, which meant they were unable to leave the flocks for weeks, which prevented them from going to the temple yet again, and they still couldn't be cleansed. It was a religious catch-22. No matter what they did, they were never good enough. And that's typical of other religions, other works religions. No matter how hard they work for their salvation, they're never sure if they've done enough. They follow the rituals, they observe the prayers 5 times a day, they keep the festivals, they pay into the system. You've got to admire their zeal, and yet it's not enough. They do more and more and more, never knowing how much more is enough. That's why Christianity is completely different. It's salvation by faith, not by works. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, freely given. Faith in a once-for-all sacrifice by someone else on your behalf. And all you have to do is simply believe. The sad thing is, even in Christendom, there are works religions. Go to Mass, say the rosary, go to confession, go to church, say your prayers, repeat the litany. Don't worry about the Bible, just listen to the priest or to the vicar. Do what he says and you'll be all right. I remember a man back in Bridgenorth telling me that his father believed in the Church of England and it was good enough for his father, it's good enough for him. Isn't that sad? Just works doing the same thing again and again. Well, if you're doing that at your church, or doing what your priest or minister says, if you're doing what you think is right, if what you think is what you've heard since you were a child, but you've never trusted in Jesus alone, because He is the one who will save His people from their sins, then you're just as unclean as those shepherds in the field when Christ was born. Because the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 64, verse 6, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. But the New Testament clearly teaches us, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. If you want to be clean, then come to the Savior. That's how simple it is. Let's come to the sublime. There are moments in life that are ingrained in your memory. Times when something happens and is burned into your heart, never to be forgotten. Sometimes it's a terrible moment, dark and foreboding. I remember 3 weeks after going to England, we went to an RAF station with Sands, and we started to set up our coffee shop and our bed and breakfast. And my son Paul phoned me. 3 weeks after getting there, Paul phoned, and he said to me, "Are you sitting down?" Well, I thought, well, what has he done now? And he said to me, "Daddy, just listen. Your mommy died." What a terrible thing to get news to be given just 3 weeks after leaving the country. One of those hard times you never forget. Then there's the moments that are thrilling moments and worth looking back and remembering. I still remember almost 50 years ago, my partner Eilish and myself were chosen to represent North of Ireland on Come Dancing. The old black and white Come Dancing. I suppose that's why I enjoy Strictly so much. It brings back those memories of the presenter on television saying, "Jackie Smiley and Jackie Brown from Belfast." I'll never forget those days. Then there's the rare, amazing, terrific, once-in-a-lifetime moments. Like the day I was married. I was standing at the front of the church with a minister and my brother, who was the best man. When the door at the back of the church opened, the bridal march started. I looked round and saw Lila walking down the aisle. What a moment. Then there was two times I went to hospital to see my two new sons for the very first time. They're moments you just never forget. Moments that are so amazing and yet so frightening and overwhelming. And yet, compared to what those shepherds saw on that night, out on the hills, all my moments are as nothing. pretty insignificant in comparison. If my moments are unforgettable to me after all these years, I wonder how long it took those shepherds to come back to reality after their moment. Moments that were altogether breathtaking, spectacular, magnificent, full of overwhelming, sublime awe and wonder. Luke puts it simply, but sublimely, in verse 9. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards man. How do you even start to consider these few verses? First of all, there's the messenger. The angel of the Lord was accompanied by the glory of the Lord shining around them. So bright was the light of God's glory, the shepherds were terrified. The AV says they were sore afraid. Do you remember when the angel appeared to Zechariah? He told him, Do not be afraid. When he appeared to Mary, he told her, Do not be afraid, Mary. He told Joseph the same thing. Now he tells the shepherds the same thing. Do not be afraid. And to relieve their fear, he tells them, I bring you good news. Now that's important because they expected to die. This was the Shekinah glory of the Lord, the brightness of the perfection of all sufficient God. Theologically, this has been described as the sum total of all the attributes of God combined together to create brilliant, perfect, pure light. And now these simple shepherds had seen the sublime glory and the majesty of God shining on the hillsides in Bethlehem. And they were terrified. And the reason they were terrified is because no man shall look on God and live. In times past, when God appeared to Israel, it was in judgment power, when people were terrified. Do you remember when he appeared to Israel at Mount Sinai? The people were so afraid, they said to Moses, You go and tell him we'll do whatever he wants. Hebrews 12:21 says, The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But this was good news. God had come to announce the birth of his Son, the Saviour of the world, and to announce that God was now with his people once again. Emmanuel, God with us. Great news. The best news. John explained it this way. John 1:14, The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Emmanuel, God with us. Then John went on to say, We have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth, not fire and brimstone. For 400 years the nation knew nothing of the glory of God. But now on the hillside of Bethlehem, those pure, simple shepherds saw the glory of the Lord once again. And the glory that brings wonder and worship. And now in the presence of those simple shepherds, the sublime glory of the Lord had returned. And the messenger told them, God was with man, Emmanuel. What a message he brought. This was a message of hope. It was a message that was gracious. A message that brought to the very people who were hopeless. The shepherds who were cast out of society. Shepherds who were forced by the very system they served to look for hope elsewhere. That night they found hope. Hope in none other than God himself. What grace that God should identify himself with shepherds. They were the lowest members of society, the outcasts of community. Yet Jesus, the Son of God, described himself as a shepherd, the protector and keeper of his flock. Imagine those shepherds isolated from their people in the temple and without hope in the world. Into their world comes the angel of the Lord to tell them, God has not forgotten you. Instead of fear and trembling, God had a wonderful message of hope for them.
Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.
But praise the Lord, this message of hope to those lowly shepherds was a message of hope to all the world and to you. For this child born in a stable of Bethlehem will become the good shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep. He'd become the great shepherd who purchases sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant that sent Christ to earth in the first place. He became the shepherd and guardian of our souls. He's the chief shepherd who will come again of his own with the reward of a crown of unfailing glory. Some people worship in great cathedrals with all the majesty and the pageantry of grand worship. Some, like us, prefer to meet in a church like this, or a simple hall, or a rented schoolroom. But would anyone want to be worshiping in a stable? That's where the shepherds first met. Their first response was to go and see this thing which had happened, which the Lord had told them about. But you'll notice they didn't wait for a couple of days, or they didn't even wait until their shift was over. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. It's been said, you're not defined by what happens to you, but by how you react to what happens to you. The shepherd's first response was to worship and thank and praise God. Sometimes strange, when we're at the prayer meeting and Rodney gives out the prayer requests, that we forget to start off by thanking God for the answers to prayers we made even the week before. And it's not just Rodney, don't get me wrong. It happened to us in Bridgenorth. It happens to many, many prayer meetings I've been to. We just straight into the prayer list instead of saying, Lord, we thank you for the answers to last week's prayers. Sadly, we become very blasé about what God does for us, even in our own private devotions. We start to take things for granted. Yes, we're sincere when we pray, but when God answers, we too often take it as if it's just right that's what happens. The shepherds didn't. Now, I know this was much bigger than help us to witness to those around us. But the principle is when you ask and God answers, we should be quicker to say thank you. That's what the shepherds did. Those poor, ignorant outcasts went straight to see what God had told them. And when they got there, they worshipped. The shepherds were not only the first to worship, they were also the first to witness. When they had seen him, they spread the word that had been told concerning this child. They were so full of praise and worship, they just had to tell someone about it. Isn't it sad that we're quicker to pass on some juicy piece of gossip than to tell others about the most wonderful thing that has happened to you and me? That's true worship. To kneel before God so that you'll be able to stand before man. True worship is to be silent in the presence of God so that you can then speak with confidence to all who need to hear. Now, of course, I'm not saying we all need to be evangelists. We don't all need to be street preachers or in the pulpit. But when we do worship, we can at least take the opportunities God gives us to spread the good news of Christ born into a world of lost sinners. Verse 20 tells us, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Those simple men, having proved the truth of all they had seen and heard, returned to the care of the flock. They went back to their everyday lives, but they went back different men. Once they were ordinary shepherds, outcasts from society, but now they were different men. Now they had evidence that what God had told them was true. Now they had hope. Now they had something to rejoice about. Now they could truly worship God for the hope he had brought them. His son, Jesus Christ, born in a manger in order to save the lost. I'm sure the shine started to wear off after a couple of weeks, maybe after a couple of months. I'm sure that when it started to wear off, they got back into the ordinary, everyday working of everyday life. But surely it was something they would never forget for the rest of their lives. This is simply sublime. 2,000 years after the birth of the Son of God was announced to poor, forgotten, ostracized shepherds, we're still celebrating the birth of the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And as we approach Christmas, no matter how good we feel about ourselves or how poorly we feel about ourselves, these shepherds show us that no matter how long we live, we can bring our worship and our praise to God and our thanks for a Savior who lived and died for sinners like you and me.